Luke chapter 13, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. If you would, I'm going to ask you one more time to stand. We stand around here for the reading of God's Word. It's out of love and respect for the Bible, and just also we use it as an opportunity to stretch your leg, amen, your legs, keep your circulation flowing so you don't fall asleep quite as quickly. Okay, anyway, Luke chapter 13, verse 1. I know how it is. I'm just picking on you. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Let's leave off reading there, and let me preach to you this morning from this topic, from this text on this topic, the fruitless fig tree. The fruitless fig tree. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for your Holy Spirit, your presence, your power, to fill me, to empty me of myself. Lord, help me to be a blessing. Speak to hearts throughout this building. Lord, take full control, I pray. Every word, every thought. Bind the devil. Don't let him hinder. Please remove all distractions from our minds, our spirits, and work, God, I pray, the work that needs to be done in your church today. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. The fruitless fig tree. If you're like me, you don't always see things in the Bible the first time you read it. Amen. Or the second. Or even the third. It sometimes takes several times looking at it, reading a passage, to see something maybe you never saw before. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible, something will be there and you just can't necessarily place your finger on what it is. I don't know if you've ever done that, but you read something along and like the Lord says, wait, stop, read that again. And you read it again, okay, Lord, I don't see anything there. Read it again. And if that's what it goes on in your heart, let me highly recommend, read it again. Amen. And read it again, because God's trying to say something. God's trying to tell you something that you just need to stop and concentrate. And I promise you, He'll get it across to you if you'll let Him. For example, I've known this passage here in the Bible. I've known it. I've read it many times here in Luke 13. But there's something I did not see until recently. The Lord Jesus here in the first five verses is talking about repentance. Amen. He's talking about repentance being required to escape perishing. Right. He's talking about, now I knew that part, that was there, and let me just explain to you what repentance is in the Bible. It's not you cleaning up your life and fixing everything about, you can't do that.
Right.
Let me just say that again, you and me are not capable of fixing everything in our lives. If we could fix everything in our lives, then Jesus would not have had to come and die on the cross. If we could just clean up ourselves, then Jesus would not have come and shed his blood to cleanse our hearts from sin.
Amen.
So repentance is not a work that you do to try to fix your life. It's a change of heart.
That's right.
Okay? It's a change of heart that, listen, that comes from God.
That's right.
It comes from the Holy Ghost of God working in the heart of man to no longer desire sin.
Amen.
And to desire Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Repentance. Now, the Lord says plainly in two verses, verse 3 and verse 5, he says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." He's using some examples of other people that died, and he says, you know what? If you don't repent, you're going to die just like they did. And notice why these people died in verse 2. Jesus answering said unto them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were what? Sinners."
Yeah.
Why did they die? Because they were sinners.
Right.
Look in verse 4. "These 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them." Now wait a minute. Stop, wait a minute. A tower fell on them, preacher. That's why they died. Nope. That's how they died.
That's right.
But why did they die? They were sinners.
That's right.
Look at verse 4. "A tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men?" He's saying the reason they died was not the tower.
That's right.
The reason they died was they were sinners. You understand today, it doesn't matter if it's a car wreck. It doesn't matter if it's a disease. It doesn't matter if it's a fluke tower falling on your head or a rock from a mountain. Well, not in Texas. A branch falling from a tree or something and pound. It doesn't matter. If you die, when you die, it's because we're a sinner. The wages of sin is death. It doesn't matter. No matter how you die, it is appointed unto a man once to die because we're sinners.
Yep.
Period. You're not going to escape that. I'm not going to escape that. And that's what Jesus is trying to say is, except you repent.
Yep.
He says, unless you repent, you are going to perish just like they did.
That's
now,
right.
Not with a tower on your head. Not with Pilate mingling your blood. In other words, Pilate killing you. Pilate was a Roman governor, and he killed people, and but not because you died at the hands of the Roman Empire, or not because you died at the hands of a broken tower, but because you're a sinner just like everybody else. And Jesus is saying here that these people who died were not more sinners than we are. We're all sinners, and the repentance is required to, listen, to escape death. So, let's slow down here, preacher. Okay, I'll slow down here. I'm not going to escape my physical death.
Right.
Okay? So,
yes,
everyone's, again, I just quoted to you Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "It's appointed unto a man, every man, once to die."
Amen. That's right.
Okay? But Jesus says here that I can escape that perishing. The perishing here is not a physical death.
Right.
It's a spiritual death. It's, the Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, hallelujah, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Same word. Same principle, same idea. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, the only way to escape the perishing, which is spiritual death, eternal condemnation from because of sin in a lake of fire, is through repentance.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
It's through repentance, because when a man repents of sin, he will always turn to God. It's not, listen to me, it's not you feeling bad about your sin and not doing it anymore.
Come on.
not repentance. That's the sorrow of this world. That's you feeling guilty about something. And most of the time, that comes when you got in trouble, you got caught. So you say, "Well, I better not do that again. I feel so bad about that." Now, or sometimes it could just be a guilty conscience. God did put that in us, though. That conscience didn't come from the devil. That conscience came from God. He created you, amen. You're His handiwork.
Yeah, He's the Lord.
And you're designed in His image, and that conscience is in there because He doesn't want you to sin. Therefore, when you feel guilty about sinning, it's because God's making you feel guilty because of your conscience. But that's not repentance.
That's right.
That's worldly sorrow. And all that does is make you feel bad and you try not to do it anymore. That's not repentance. Repentance is when you turn to God.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm not talking about confession either.
Yeah.
Come on.
Confessing is admitting that you sinned.
Well,
you can admit it to God and say, "God, please forgive me." But you're not turning to God to make Him Lord of your life. You're simply trying to clear your conscience to escape His judgment.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
Now, I can show you verses. I don't have time. But I understand something. Repentance that produces salvation, is the Bible calls it repentance unto life. It's called repentance that God gives in the heart of man that turns a man to God from sin. Jesus said again, "Come unto me." You're going to have to come out of where you're at and come to Him. And that doesn't happen except you first repent. God puts repentance in your heart, a desire to come to Him and no longer live in sin. No longer dwell and live in sin. Now, that has to happen, dearly beloved, or you are not saved.
That's right.
I'm going to say that again. If that has not happened in your life, you are going to perish.
Yep.
That's what He's preaching. That's exactly what Jesus said. He said, except you repent, you're going to perish just like everybody else did because of their sin. See, repentance is the only change of heart that God will recognize and then give you salvation.
Amen, preacher. Come on.
See, a repentant heart is a heart that's humbly turned to God because you realize He's my only hope.
Yep.
The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 28 that he that hideth his sin shall not prosper. Now, I can hide my sin in many different ways. I can confess it to God and think, okay, it's all gone now. God says you will not prosper like that.
That's right.
I can hide my sin by not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
You will not prosper.
Right.
What do you mean, preacher? You mean if I quit sinning, you're not going to prosper? God says in Proverbs 28, He says, "He that hideth his sin shall not prosper." No matter what you do to try to get rid of your sin, hide it, get rid of it, get away from it, you're not going to prosper. What do you mean? Because the rest of the verse says, "But he that confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy." The only hope that you have of salvation, dearly beloved, is the mercy of God.
That's right.
And God's not going to extend His mercy to you except you first confess your sin, yes, but and then you forsake it. What does that mean? You turn from it, amen? That's repentance. You turn to God, and then you'll find His mercy when you turn away from your sin. It's a heart matter. With a heart, a man believes unto righteousness. Now, we have a lot of people today who are religious, who are sitting in church, who are doing good things, and all they're doing, they're coming to church to hide their sin. God says, "You will not prosper." Now, listen, you need to listen to me today, because Jesus said, if you do not repent, you are just like everybody else, you're going to perish.
Come on, preacher.
He didn't pull punches.
Right.
He did not mince words. He said, no, they're not greater sinners than you.
Yep.
He said, unless you repent, you're going to perish just like they did.
That's
because
right.
of their sin.
Yep.
Because of their sin, because we're all sinners.
Yep.
Now, then he goes into the fig tree. It goes right into the fig tree in verse 6. He spake also this parable. Now understand this. He's talking to the same crowd.
Yeah.
In the same conversation.
Uh-huh.
Now again, I knew I knew both of these stories. But if you're not careful, you'll think these are two isolated stories. One's a repentance, one's a fig tree. But listen to me. There's no mention of him leaving this conversation. There's no mention of him traveling to another place. Jesus mentions repentance to these people, and then he goes right into the parable of the fig tree. This is directly connected to the repentance, and I'm going to show you how. At first glance, it doesn't make sense. It seems like it's two different things completely. I mean, he's talking, though, to the same people, and he's using this fruitless fig tree to illustrate the doctrine of repentance. He's using the fruitless fig tree to that's what a parable does. Let me stop there. Slow down. A parable is an earthly story that Jesus uses so that we can comprehend it, but it's teaching us a heavenly or a spiritual truth.
Amen.
Okay? An earthly story that we can understand, teaching us a heavenly truth. That's what a parable is. So he's teaching them, he's telling them about repentance and perishing, which, by the way, is a heavenly spiritual truth. And then he's using a fig tree that we, oh, fig tree. Oh, yeah, I know what a fig tree is. And then he says, now, I'm going to teach you about this repenting. I'm going to use a fig tree. Now, I have to admit to you that I never put two and two together for the longest time. It always seemed to me like two completely separate stories, isolated one from the other, mutually exclusive, not at all related, because I never saw the relation until God said, stop.
Right.
Read that again.
Uh-huh.
Stop. Okay, Lord, I read it again. What do you read it again?
Amen.
Okay. Read it again. Have you ever noticed how God is a lot more patient than you are? Read it again. Read it again. God's got all day.
Yep.
1,000 years is his day to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Read it again. And you know, it helps you also if you'll read it. Lord, I still don't see it. And then he says, okay, now go over there, get on your knees, and meditate on it. Pray about it.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever done that?
Oh, Richard.
Have you ever just said, Lord, I don't understand that, but I know you're trying to tell me something. So get down on your knees in a quiet place and say, Lord, okay, I'm going to go over this in my mind. By the way, that's what meditation is.
Yep.
Think about it. The greatest way to meditate on something is to meditate in the presence of God and His glory, because it's His Word. So get alone on your knees somewhere and you say, okay, Lord, here am I. Help me. Teach me. Teach me. I don't understand. And you know, He answers. When He's trying to speak to you, He wants you to take time. Stop.
Amen.
Take time for Him and let Him tell you what He's trying to teach you. Okay, so in other words, Jesus was teaching about repentance and He goes straight into the fig tree. And at first glance, it doesn't make sense. There's no connection. But look, let's I'm going to try to help you see. I'm going to tell you what God told me anyway. And maybe you'll get it, maybe not. But the parable goes like this. There was a vineyard owner, the Bible says there in verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. So the certain man is the vineyard owner. Okay, it's his vineyard. He's the owner. Then there's also, he came and sought fruit thereon in verse 7. Said he unto the dresser of his vineyard. So there's the owner of the vineyard. Then there's the keeper of the vineyard. And then there's the vineyard itself, of course, which is a bunch of, you know, grapevines. And then there's a fig tree planted in the vineyard.
Right.
Which that in itself is a little bit weird, because you don't plant fig trees in a vineyard. You plant grapes in a vineyard.
Yep.
Okay, but we'll get to that in a minute. The vineyard's owner then comes to the dresser of the vineyard and he says, look, I've been coming for this, for fruit from this tree for 3 years, and there's still no fruit on this tree. So this parable is basically said, that owner says, I want that tree out of my vineyard. He literally says in verse 7, why cumbereth it the ground? He says, that tree is taking up good ground space that I could use for other things. It's wasting space in my vineyard. Okay? So, now, how in the world then does this teach anything about repentance? Here we go. As Jesus was telling them that they too had to repent or perish, here's what I believe happened. And again, I'm telling you what God told me. When he said that to the, because there's no record of them answering him. He said in verse 3, he said, no, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then he goes in to speak in verse 4, those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Now wait a minute, they didn't say anything about a tower. They came to him talking about the blood and Pilate and sacrifices in verse 1, and that's the last thing they said.
Yep.
Jesus took over the conversation, and he began to tell them, okay, no, they didn't repent. If you don't repent, you're going to die because you're a sinner too. And then he goes into a tower in Siloam falling on people's heads and saying, you got to repent because they're sinners. If you don't repent, you're going to... So here's what happened. They're not saying a word. But you know, have you ever noticed when you don't know what's going on, it shows on your face? And the Bible says that there were present at that season some, so there was more than one. So here they are. Jesus is talking to them, and they're like this. They're not saying a word. And you understand, just like me, and maybe you, he breaks into a fig tree story. I was asking about blood and Pilate and sacrifices and death. And then he starts talking about repentance and a tower falling on people. And then he's talking about a fruit tree in a vineyard.
Yeah, come on.
Has it ever dawned on you that his words and his ways are so much higher than ours? His thoughts are so much higher than ours. But praise God, he puts a Holy Spirit in our hearts if you're saved this morning. And you can go to God in prayer, like I said. And he says, okay, this is what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
Here's what happened. They began to look at each other and think in their minds, have I repented? Listen, they heard Jesus say twice, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now that ought to get your attention.
Yeah, come on.
If you're listening this morning, that gets your attention. Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. He's talking about people dying, towers falling on them. And he says, that's going to happen to you too if you don't repent. Now listen, that's going to get your attention.
Yeah, come on. Amen.
So he sees their expression of concern,
right?
Wondering, I don't understand. But then, no doubt, listen to me. The first thing in their mind was this, I believe with all my heart. Well, have I repented?
Yeah, come on.
What is repentance? Have I repented? And I don't doubt for a second. Again, I'm just telling you what God told me. That there's some in that crowd who said, well, of course. I knew that. I repented. I repent every day.
Come on,
free. There's always pride. Always pride.
Yep.
In one person's heart, there's plenty of pride. But when you get a group of people together, there's always, pride just kind of seems to welcome company, you know? And it seems to build on itself. And so they're thinking, well, there's some of them thinking, ooh, have I repented? And there's others thinking, I knew this. Of course I repented. I repented yesterday. And so, Instead of Jesus answering each one of them individually, he goes right into the explanation. Listen, this is what he's saying to them. His words were spoken with such authority that they began to wonder whether or not they had repented. They were expecting him to tell them. They were expecting, they wanted to know, but they were not expecting his answer. Jesus used this parable to answer the question that their face was asking. And can I tell you, he always knows what you're thinking.
Amen.
Amen.
Always knows what you're thinking and what I'm thinking. Sometimes I look at you and I think I know what you're thinking, but I have no clue sometimes either. Sometimes you could be smiling at me and thinking, I wish he'd shut up. Sometimes you go, And you're like, please keep preaching. I can't figure out your countenance. Your expression is not always, but Jesus always knows.
Amen.
Exactly what's in our hearts. And as a result, he's going to explain to them what whether or not they've repented. Okay? Are you following me so far? Okay, so he goes to the parable to answer their questions and also to shut down the pride of them who were self-righteous.
Yeah, right.
Okay, he's doing it all in one parable of a fig tree, and you'll understand here in a minute. His answer to their question was this. Here it is. If you have repented, there will be fruit.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
If you have repented, it will be visible.
Yeah, come on.
If you haven't, there won't be any fruit.
Come on.
Is that it, preacher? No, I'm not quite done yet, but that's the main crux.
Amen.
He didn't go to another town and start another parable. He's talking to the same group who's wondering, have I repented then? Because listen, when Jesus says, if you don't repent, you're going to perish, it ought to get your attention.
That's right.
And it got theirs. And he says, okay, I'm going to tell you, if you have, you'll be a different person.
Yep.
There's a lot of people today who are religious, but they're not different.
Yeah, come on.
There's a lot of people today who don't understand true salvation, and that's why there's no difference. It scares me. There's a parable in Matthew chapter 25, don't turn there, about 10 virgins. 10 virgins. Okay? They were getting ready for the wedding party. The groom was going to show up. They were going to be in the wedding. They had their oil. They had some oil, but only 5 of them had a vat with oil with them. In other words, they had lamps. The oil, I mean, was oil for their lamps. They carried lamps because they didn't have electricity and things like that. They carried lamps that burned oil. Coleman lanterns, lamps that burn oil. Well, some of them had lamps with oil in it, but others, 5 of them had, only 5 of the 10 had oil with them for the lamp.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying is this. The oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. And some of them had oil in their possession, in their hands.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
But only 5 of them had oil in their possession.
That's right.
On them.
Yeah, amen.
Listen, if you do the math, that's 50%.
That's right.
Of everybody sitting in church. And when the Bible says at midnight there came a cry, the bridegroom cometh. It's a picture of the rapture. And the ones the Bible calls the 5 that had the oil were wise. They knew what salvation was. They had the oil.
Yeah, amen. Well,
the other 5 said, wait a minute. Our lamps have burned out.
Come on, preach.
Give us some of your oil. I can't give you my oil. You have to go get oil from the one who gives the oil. It's Jesus.
Amen.
And by the time they came back, the door was shut.
Yep.
They couldn't get in. That's 50%, 5, 10, 50% of people who sit in church. So they have some oil in their hand.
Come on, yep.
But their heart's empty.
Come on.
And when Jesus comes, listen to me, you're going to be, where'd everybody go?
Come on.
Wait a minute. I thought I was ready. That's 50%. That's why when Jesus talks about repentance or perishing, you better sit up straight and listen.
Amen.
Because I don't want you to be one of that 50% who says, wait a minute, I had the oil in my hand. I was in church.
Come on.
I looked like everybody else.
Yeah.
But here's the key. Matthew chapter 7 says, by their fruits you shall know them.
Yeah,
quickly, I want you to notice, number one, quickly about this parable. The owner had the tree planted. I'm hurrying, verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted. God is the owner.
That's right.
Of the ground. He had the fig tree planted in his vineyard, on his ground. God is the owner. God owns the cattle. God owns the thousand hills. God created the world. God is the owner of the vineyard and the grapes and the fig tree and the ground and the dirt. God has everything. God created you. God created me. And God placed us on this earth.
Amen.
Are you with me? That's easy, right? In other words, but listen, you don't belong to yourself. One day, God's going to take you out of this earth, out of this world. You're not in charge of that.
Yeah, that's right.
God created us. God gave us life. He's the owner of the vineyard. He's the owner of the world. He's the creator and the sustainer of all life.
Yeah.
All life.
Amen.
God puts you where he wanted you, by the way. A fig tree in a vineyard. Sometimes I feel like, Lord, I'm a fig tree in a vineyard. I don't fit here. This is not right. This is not where I belong. Lord, put me over here in the fig tree orchard. Why am I in the vineyard?
Come on.
But can I tell you, God puts you right where you belong.
That's right.
Number two, a fig tree only has one purpose.
Yep.
A fig tree is not planted for shade.
That's right.
A fig tree is not planted for the bark or for the beauty of the leaves. A fig tree is planted for the fruit.
That's right.
The owner complained because his fig tree that he planted for fruit was just taking up space in the ground and not producing anything. And can I tell you something? The location, again, was no excuse.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Lord, you just don't understand. I'm trying my best to produce fruit. You just don't understand, Lord. Maybe you just need to move me to another church.
Come on, Bridget.
Oh, really? No, maybe you need to repent and get saved.
Hey.
The location's no excuse.
That's right.
The fig tree is one purpose. And God put that fig tree there in his ground. And number three, were it not for the keeper of the vineyard, the fig tree would be dead.
Yep.
God, the owner said, take this tree out of my vineyard. And the keeper said, wait a minute. Give me a little more time.
Yeah, come on.
The keeper of the vineyard is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God the Father, the Creator, the keeper of the vineyard, the Lord Jesus Christ. And understand something. He is the only reason that any of us will ever escape the fires of hell. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He is the only reason that any of us will ever bear fruit. He is the only reason we don't get what we deserve.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus. None of us could ever bear fruit without him.
Yep.
Amen.
None of us. We were all dead fig trees. We were created by God, but sin had killed our fruit-bearing abilities. And God, one day, listen to me, God's going to come down. And he's going to say, look, where's your fruit?
Yeah. Yep.
And understand something, that's what he's doing today. And the dresser of the vineyard, see, all of our lives would be empty and pointless and fruitless except for Jesus working on us.
That's right.
You understand something? All of our lives would be fruitless and barren if Jesus had not given his life to die for our sins. But I want you to notice with me in verse 8, and I'm done. He answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. The keeper of the vineyard, the dresser of the vineyard, Jesus Christ, is the only hope this tree has.
Yeah, that's right.
The only hope you have.
Yeah.
But what this keeper did is very significant. Notice he says, I'm going to dig about it, first of all. He was going to dig about it. That means he's going to remove all the bad soil and all the weeds in that soil.
Amen.
Okay? And then he says, I'm going to dung it. He's going to fertilize it. So he's going to remove all of the bad soil, and he's going to replace the bad soil with good soil, which, by the way, you know, that's any gardener, anybody wants to plant or grow anything. Yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to make sure you got good soil. You can't have weeds growing in that thing. You got to clean it out, till it up, put some good soil in there, and then, more than likely, but see, there's very much spiritual significance here. He's replacing the bad soil with the good soil so that it would produce a healthy, fruitful tree.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus came, the Bible says, Jesus came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came to make all things new in our hearts.
Amen.
Stay with me. Jesus came to cast out the unclean and replace it with the healthy and clean and fruitful. All we were, all we had, listen, all that's in this world, like I told you in Sunday school, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. If that's all that's growing in your heart, dearly beloved, you are not saved.
Amen.
And except you repent, you shall likewise perish.
That's right.
But thank God for the dresser of the vineyard. This very message today is speaking to your heart, helping you understand that Jesus is working on your heart to bring you to repentance. And listen to me, that's what he's always going to do until the end of the world. He's going to work in people's hearts. Here's what happens. He came to cast out the unclean and replace it with the clean. The Son of Man, in Matthew chapter 13, there's a parable, the sower and the seed. The Son of Man is the sower. You remember that parable. The seed is the Word of God. The soil is the what? The heart.
That's right.
What's Jesus working with here in this vineyard? The soil. The soil. What's Jesus working on in your heart? Before you got saved, what did he do? He was working in your heart.
That's right.
Your soil. For one reason. To bring you to repentance.
Yep.
Amen.
See, what happens is he's got to dig all of that old, corrupt, filthy dirt full of weeds and thorns and bristles and briars. Because that heart is unclean, and that heart has no desire for truth, righteousness, holiness. That heart will never repent.
Right.
Jesus is working in the soil to fix the tree. So, preacher, I don't know if my life has any fruit. Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, come on.
Otherwise, Jesus would never use this parable. Yeah, you do.
Yep.
Many people say, well, I don't know. I think I'm saved. And you don't have to think whether you're saved or not. There's going to be visible evidence.
Yeah, man.
I'm not talking about going to church once in a while. Yeah. I'm talking about a life that's going to produce fruit. It's going to be visible. You can't hide fruit on a tree.
Come on. Amen. Amen.
And you can't hide a fruitless tree either.
That's right.
There's never been a piece of fruit on this tree. That's what the owner said. I have come to this tree year after year after year. There has never been one piece of fruit.
Yeah. Come on.
And thank God for the dresser, the keeper of the vineyard. He said, okay. You're right. He's not saved. You're right. She's not saved. She's playing church. He's playing church. But listen, I'm still working on the soil. I'm still working on the soil. Just give me a little more time. I'm working on the soil. What I got to do is I got to dig up all of this junk that's in the soil. And then I'm going to put some good, clean truth in the soil.
Amen.
And you come back. You come back. And if there's fruit then praise God. If not, then you, yeah, sooner or later. If it won't produce fruit then, it's never going to produce fruit. Now listen to me. They still didn't say a word.
That's right.
Just like some of you don't know what to say either. Understand something. Repentance produces visible fruit. Your self-righteous, religious efforts at being good produce nothing.
That's right.
Amen.
That's why you're so miserable. That's why there's been no change in your life. But I go to church, preacher. You know what I'm talking about. And by the way, so does the owner of the vineyard. He's looking at your life. He's saying, there's no fruit. There's no fruit. There's no fruit. And thank God for the long-suffering dresser of the vineyard. He said, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm still working on the soil.
Yeah.
See, you. There's no love. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no hunger. There's no thirst. There's no. Why? Because, well, I'm a tree. Yeah, you're a tree. But so is every other created being in this world. Salvation brings fruit.
Amen.
Fruit. And except you repent, there's coming a day where the owner of the vineyard is going to come down. The end of the world is going to say, I gave you every chance you had.
Yeah.
Jesus was working on your heart. You said in the preaching, you heard the word of God. You were around Christians. The soil, Jesus kept working, working, working. He was tearing away the filth and the sin. He was trying to place the good, fertile soil in your heart. And I gave you every chance. Gone. And the lake of fire is your home. Except you repent. Because repentance produces fruit. That's why so many people, Christians, come to church, go home, and nothing has changed.
Yeah.
No desire. I don't care about reading the Bible. I don't care about praying. I may go to church next Sunday unless I get a better offer.
No.
You're fooling yourself.
Yeah.
You're playing with fire, literal, a lake of fire. God knows. The dresser's working on your heart.
Amen.
He's, thank God for his mercy. But if you don't repent.
Yep.
Well, preacher, I got baptized so many years ago. So? You didn't repent?
Amen. Come on.
You understand, anybody can get baptized.
Amen.
Right? I could take a dead cadaver out of the mortuary and baptize him. That's not going to save him.
Come on, preacher.
That's right.
Yeah.
I can fill up these pews with people. Deaf, mute, dumb, they can't hear a word I'm saying. That's not going to save them.
Amen.
Stop playing games with God. Listen, the owner of the vineyard, the one that created you, the one that put you in on his earth, he's given you a chance. The dresser of the vineyard is working on your heart. And he said, I'm trying to give you a point to understand you must repent or you're going to all likewise perish.
Yep, come on.
Quit playing games with God. Jesus loves you. I mean, he's working. He's the one that told me what this meant. I didn't know what this meant. I didn't know what this meant, Lord. Now I know. And now it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, amen. That's right. Amen.
So many lives have no fruit.
Yep.
Zero. You sit there and you wonder, what is he so excited about? Why do these people amening? One eye open, where's the fruit? Quit playing games with God. You're not saved.
Come on, Bridget.
And you know it. And God knows it. And Jesus is working on you right now. Why would you keep turning him away? Get saved.
Amen.
And you'll be start to see there's a difference. There's a difference. Glory to God. I remember there's a blind man in John chapter 9. I'm done. He was born blind. He was a grown man now. Lived like blind his whole life. Jesus came along, healed him. For the first time he could see. And everybody started asking, how'd you get healed? How'd you get healed? And he said, who healed you? What's his name? He said, I don't know his name. I don't know where he came from. All I know is that I was blind, but now I can see. Amen. Listen to me. Salvation changes everything. Quit playing games with God.
Hey.
If you're not saved, get saved.
Amen.
I don't care if you're a church member. Get saved. There's no fruit. I just don't understand. You better get saved. Because except ye repent, ye shall also likewise perish. Preacher, I'm not a bad person. You're still a sinner. No tower's going to fall on me. I don't live anywhere near a tower. You're still a sinner.
Amen.
And you have to repent. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord, there's at least one person in this room who's not saved. Lord, you gave me this message. I didn't even know what this passage meant. but you did not let me get away from it. Because there's somebody in this room, probably more than one, 50% of people who are playing church have no oil. They're not saved. And Father, I pray, Lord, I'm not trying to hurt them. That the dresser of that vineyard was not trying to hurt that tree, but trying to bring it to a place of repentance. Change the inside, the heart, so that the life, the outside, would produce fruit. Lord, speak to hearts today. God, I remember all the years of my life, so many years in my young childhood, adolescence. Lord, I knew that nothing was different. I knew nothing was different in my heart. Oh, I grew up in church, Lord. I went to church every day since I can remember as a child. But every night I'd lay my head on my pillow. I knew there was nothing different. I didn't care about church. I didn't care about the Bible. I was not hungry. I was not thirsty for righteousness. All I wanted to do was what I wanted to do. And Lord, you kept digging in my heart and digging in my heart and putting the Word of God and putting in my, digging and dunging. And oh God, you brought me finally to the place where I repented. Lord, I thank you, God. Oh Lord, there's somebody in this room today who needs to get off their pride, get off of their religious formalities and repent. God, you're trying to dig in their heart, and you're trying to give them, Lord, the truth so they can come to repentance. Please, Father, there's so many fruitless lives in churches today. God, please break our hearts. Break the hearts, Lord, not so, Lord, help them to see one day it's going to be too late. Lord, as that parable was concluding, Lord, if that fig tree did not produce fruit by the end of that year, it wasn't the dresser's fault. It wasn't the owner's fault. It was because it did not receive the good soil. It did not let the good soil change its heart. Lord, work in our hearts. Work in those that are here today. Lord, I see their faces, and they're just miserable, Lord. They're just without hope. God, you're trying to bring them to repentance. Please, God, work in their hearts. Bless the invitation. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, no one's looking around, please, out of respect for each other. I promise you, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I promise you, if you're not saved today, but you've been in church for a while, or you've been here many times, you're not alone. That was my life story. But God, through Jesus and His mercy, kept working in my heart, kept digging and dunging and digging and dunging. Today, you say, preacher, I remember the day I repented. I remember the day I hated sin. And I wanted God. I turned to God, and I no longer desired any sin, anything this world had to offer. Listen to me. That's repentance. Through that repentance, God then gives you His salvation. It's still a free gift. It's still by His grace. But you've got to turn in full believing faith, understanding He's the only way. Oh, I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. You can't make me doubt my salvation because He lives in my heart. You can't make me doubt my salvation. But if you're doubting your salvation, you better run to Jesus. Because I don't know how long that year how much more of that year is left in your life. There's a time where he's coming back and everything's going to be made right. All the accounts are going to be settled. You're not going to make excuses. If there's no fruit in your life, there's no fruit. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm not talking about doing something. I remember the day Jesus came into my heart and changed me forever. Which, as a testimony, would you raise your hand right there where you sit? I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Amen. Thank you. You can put it down. This morning, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. No one's looking. But if you're here today and you couldn't raise your hand, I'm not taking names. I just want to pray. That's all I want to do. When you repent and turn to God, you'll know it. You'll know it. Everything will be different. Fruit will come naturally. A tree doesn't have to work to bear fruit. A tree just has to be healthy with life in its roots. Are you saved this morning? Say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. Would you pray for me? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. Say, preacher, maybe I've come before and tried to get saved. But listen, don't delay. If you would slip up your hand quietly right there where you sit, I'll pray for you, I promise. I'm not going to call you by name. I'm just going to pray for you, generally asking God to help you understand. Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I've really repented. I know I don't want to perish, though, in hell. Would you raise your hand right there where you sit? Let me just raise it up quietly, put it right back down. Preacher, pray for me. Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Maybe there's another one here today. Listen, you know if there's fruit in your life. The day that you got saved, everything changed. If it hasn't changed, listen, don't play games. God's not trying to hurt you. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. I just want to pray for you. God wants to save you. That's why Jesus is working in your heart. So that you don't perish. Would there be another one here? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to pray for you this morning. Will there be another one today? Be honest with God. Say, preacher, there's no real change in my life. Okay, let me pray for you. Is there anyone like that? Anyone else? Heavenly Father, you've seen the hand this morning. You know the heart, so more importantly. And I know, God, you're not trying to hurt us. You're trying to save these that need to be saved. Please work in this one's heart.